Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
This is the PT Pinecast. And we're on the road, live from Miami. We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. We talk PT, drink beers, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast, recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Here we go. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours at the PT Pack fundraising event in Miami, Florida, National Student Conclave. Our next guest is a board-certified orthopedic physical therapist and is a fellow in the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Physical Therapy. He got his DPT at the University of the Puget Sound in Tacoma, Washington. He completed an orthopedic physical therapy residency and orthopedic manual physical therapy fellowship with EIM and earned a certification as a therapeutic pain specialist with the International Spine and Pain Institute. Additionally, he was the contractor for the U.S. Air Force and served as a trial coordinator, coordinating the day-to-day activity on two large, multi-centered randomized controlled trials in knee OA and low back strengthening for Army combat medics. Currently, he's on staff with EIM. He also serves in an adjunct faculty for South College DPT program in Knoxville, Tennessee. Brett Nielsen on the PT Pinecast. How we doing, buddy?
Doing great.
This is a decent setting for a PT Pinecast.
It's fantastic.
It's not bad.
So many students around and everybody's having a good time. Lots of costumes.
I'm going to say, I don't know, what's your percentage of costume to non-costume ratio?
It's like 50-50 maybe.
Not bad.
It's about every other, right?
You got a lot of people who are like, I'm too cool to be in a costume.
Kind of like you and I, right?
Yeah, we're just rolling around. How's the conference been so far?
Man, this is a fun conference. The last time that I was at NSC was when it was here in Miami back when I was just graduating as a student in 2009. So
wow.
This is a fun conference. And
now you get to see it from a different side.
Now I get to see it from the other side. And it's so cool, just the energy and the passion around here. There's so many eager people waiting to get out into the profession. And it's just it's an energy about it.
We had Sharon Dunn interview a bunch of students, and it was just amazing. Just first-year students, how well-spoken and how well-versed they are and everything, it's a little scary, because I sure as hell, I don't know what the hell they're talking about now, and I just graduated.
Yeah, it's wild, and this is a interesting group of students that are willing to kind of come out here for
spend their
own money and invest in their profession, and it's just really cool. This is I don't want to use the word elite, but it's kind of an edge up, if you will.
It is. You got to say, I mentioned Mr. Sharon Dunn, the next president of the APTA, or one or two down the line, has got to be in this room today.
Absolutely. You just never know.
So did a little bit of advanced education and certification in pain science. And I feel like that's a big topic that's gaining steam now. I don't think it was that big of a deal, or I think we thought we knew everything about pain a couple of years ago, and apparently that's not the case.
Pain is, it really is almost like the new kind of sexy thing, if you will. It's like manual therapy and joint manipulation was 10, 15 years ago, and it is creating a wave. Unfortunately, healthcare system, as you can see by the opioid epidemic that's currently ongoing, is really struggling on how do we deal with pain. Pain affects 1 in 4 people.
A lot.
Chronic pain affects 1 in 4 people in the U.S., which is just tremendous. It's the most healthcare dollars are spent on managing chronic pain. And why, if we're so good, if our interventions are so advanced, why aren't we any better? Why aren't we curbing this pain epidemic, if you will? Unfortunately, people still follow the René Descartes theory of how pain works back from the 1600s, where you have this stimulus from your foot that comes up to your spinal cord and then enters your brain as like an input to the system. And it couldn't be, so further from the truth of how pain really works. We've kind of forgotten about the brain. We've forgotten about systems like the immune system and other things that go into how pain works, essentially.
How long is it going to take before we catch up? Because things take a while to go from research to curriculum and then eventually curriculum to the boards.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that, because it was really cool in my talk today, I asked everybody to raise their hand if they had any pain science education in their program. Now, mind you, we're talking about first, second, and third year PT students. They're at different stages of their education, but I was actually quite surprised that almost like one in four students raised their hand. And I think that's a huge shift in education, even from when I went to school, which is, you know, only about 7-8 years ago.
So one in four people?
About one in four, one in five people raise their hand saying that they're at least getting some pain education in school.
One in four people affected with pain. Now we're at one in four students being educated in pain.
Exactly. So I think it's catching up, but it's still going to take some time. And unfortunately, healthcare is driven by money.
Yeah.
Interventions, the way they're still being paid in healthcare, is, I think, going to be the where things kind of fall short and what's going to really hold us back. Because when we're paid based on what we do, not on how well we help our patients, how are we going to change? And yeah, I think that's the big thing.
I'm not going to say where, but I've done clinical rotations where it was said, you will do 15 minutes of this, you will do 15 minutes of this, and then make sure the patient gets 30 more minutes of this. And I remember even as a first or second year student, I went, what if they don't need that? What if they need something else? What if they don't need any? What if they just need 15 minutes of this and be on their way? But I want to get that patient better. I don't want to just keep them here for billing purposes. This person is not a meal ticket to me. I didn't want it to be that way.
Yeah, too long we've tried to fit a single model to every single patient out there, and that just doesn't work. Some patients, all they need is reassurance. Other patients, they may need 15 minutes of your time to do a quick joint manipulation, show them a couple exercises, and tell them to keep moving.
Right.
Other patients may need an hour and a half of your time to really help them overcome some of their big fears surrounding their painful episode. And one size does not fit all. And I think that's a great point.
So I wanted to talk about a little bit, maybe sometimes it's better to have hands off then, right?
I think it comes down to choosing the right intervention for the right person at the right time. Now, occasionally that is going to, you know, require hands off, or maybe all the patient is needing is reassurance. I mean, I do sports screens all the time, and sometimes those people just need to be reassured. Yeah, yep, that's okay. That's normal. It'll probably be sore for a little while, but it'll get better. You can keep working, you know? Whereas, you know, others may need something totally different. So I do want to be careful, because I think one of the big stigmas with pain science is that we should all sell our treatment tables. We should stop practicing, right, you know, traditional PT, stop doing manual therapy or dry needling or exercise, because we can just educate everybody and,
right,
and education will solve their problems.
Well,
but it doesn't work that way.
There goes the physical component of physical therapy, right?
Exactly. So, and in fact, and I hate to get into evidence as we're sitting into a bar here, but
it's the best place to get into some evidence, man. It's the best place.
But, you know, there was a recent systematic review that came out looking at pain neuroscience education. This is just published this year in 2016 by Dr. Adrian Lowe and his colleagues. And what they looked at is all of the research out there on pain education. And they classified the studies that used in the systematic review, whether it was just pain education and active therapy or pain education alone. Not a single study that only used pain education by itself showed statistical improvement in pain.
So
it was the studies that included education and movement therapy.
So the studies are showing that you do have to have that educational component, but it can't just be standalone. It can't be the only thing.
It's got to be coupled with movement. It's what we know and what we know how to do best.
Yeah. We talked about this, especially at the conclave with the students. The topic is coming up more and more, and the topic is burnout. These kids haven't even taken a day as a PT, as a paid PT, haven't drawn a paycheck yet, and they're already worried, which is good, which is smart, about burning out of the profession they're trying so hard to get into. Why does that come up so often right now?
It's kind of startling. There's some studies that, and there's very little research on PT burnout, but there are some studies that suggest that one in five physical therapists experience some form of symptoms of burnout.
It's a lot.
Which is a tremendous amount, and the populations of PTs that are most affected are those practicing less than 4 years and those who are at the ends of their career. And that's also startling, because here we are at this crowded bar with tons of students that are energized and pumped to get into the profession, and then a lot of them might burn out in the first few years before they ever really get their feet underneath them.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that one of the main reasons has to do with pain. I think we're so ill-equipped to deal with pain. We're taught in school how to do joint mobilizations and what's the best ACL protocols. But we kind of forget that the knee is attached to a brain. Every living body part has a brain attached to it, and we aren't really taught how to handle that. This couldn't be like more displayed than, I was talking to one of our new PTs recently, and she was saying, you know what, Brett? I like orthopedics, but I just want to treat dysfunction. I just want to help people move better and do better, and I don't know what to do about their pain. Every time they come in, they still say I hurt, and they're just so focused on that, and all I want to do is help them move better. And so there's kind of a disconnect, right? There, here's a young PT who knows her stuff, who knows her skills, but she just doesn't have the skill set to deal with the person and their pain and how to help the person move beyond that so they can work on function. So I think that's a big issue. Yeah.
You're talking about just this small sample size you had today, and you're talking about one in four students saying they had some pain education. You got a little more pain education doing a residency. Is that something more students are leaning towards, especially with some gaps in the education, maybe?
Absolutely. And going into residency training, I think, and really, let me back up, because residency training may or may not be for you. You know, about right now, we're approached, we just passed the 10% mark, so 10% of all physical therapists are board certified, so I think that's a huge accomplishment. But what I would put it, frame it as, is post-professional education. Everybody should be considering post-professional education beyond just the standalone CE courses. We know that those don't change practice, at least not significantly. What you need is a structured program. It's got to be a certification in manual therapy or in neurologic rehab or in stroke rehab or a residency in those kind of same topic areas as well. So it's got to be a structured post-professional education. Because absolutely, once you get into the profession, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
That's where you just will learn so exponentially fast, because you're learning and applying, learning and applying, learning and applying. And that type of learning is just, it's almost contagious. Like, you just want to learn more because, oh, you know what, that'll help Sally, and this will help, you know, Mrs.
Jones.
You
can see right where it's going to be applied.
So I think that's really important. And pain science, I think, is starting to make it more into residency training. It's definitely in fellowship training. So I would definitely encourage people to look at curriculums when you are entering a residency program.
What drew you to you doing one?
So I went through a residency program and then a fellowship program with Evidence in Motion. And what drew me to them is their eclectic approach. They are focused on the evidence and really, like their name suggests, putting the evidence into motion, putting the evidence into practice. It also was a similar mindset what I got in PT school. And so I really took what I knew in PT school, chose a program that aligned with what I learned in PT school so I could further build on that foundation versus starting brand new and going in a different route. Now, I will tell you that I did test the waters a little bit. I took some courses from some other manual therapy continuing education companies, but ultimately found that EIM kind of spoke my language. And I was able to, I feel like, further advance myself quicker, sooner, by going through residency with Evidence in Motion.
One topic that comes up a lot here with students too, especially I think this millennial generation in a good way, is they look for work-life balance. They're very concerned about that, even very early on in their career. What would you say to a student coming out of PT school now, how to best approach maintaining a good work-life balance so you don't approach that burnout stage?
That's a great question, and burnout is always a kind of polarizing topic. Work-life balance is a polarizing topic, because you got to realize when you enter this profession, it is a profession. It's a career.
It's not a job.
It's not a job. And a profession takes work, and it takes time to develop your skills, and your profession's just beginning the minute you enter the profession. It's not ending, and that's really where the time, you've got to invest time in yourself, in your skill set, in order to be the best PT that you can be. You can't just expect that everything's going to be handed to you. So while you got to work hard, I also agree that playing hard is also important too. And I think this is a great example. We were all in conference all day today, but we're out, you know, this evening having a nice cocktail at a fun bar. So I think there is a place for work-life balance, but you got to realize that it's not a 50-50 split. It's definitely got to be more heavily on the work side of things in order to further develop yourself in your profession.
Yeah, I mean, you work so hard to get here, and you know what kind of work goes into staying here and going through school and getting out. It doesn't really end there. Like you said, it's just beginning. Commencement is not an ending. It's a beginning when we graduate from PT school. I like how you kind of phrase that.
I think it all comes down to passion, because if you are so passionate about this profession, just like everybody is here, that's one of your immunities to burnout, is being so passionately driven, constantly seeking to improve, critically thinking about your performance and how you can get better, and seeking out mentors and people who can help take you to where you want to be. if you can continue that passion, you're going to be immune from burnout. And that's what I love about these conferences, AOM conference, APTA conferences like CSM and NSC, is, man, they're just so rejuvenating and re-energizing and gives you a new sense of focus to get back to the grind when you do return back to the clinic.
Yeah, I've heard that multiple times this weekend, as this conference really reminds you of the exciting parts of this profession, really puts some energy back in you. When you get back home, you're just excited to do it again.
Yeah.
Excited to get back to it. And it's good that these three conferences, Next, Conclave, and CSM, they're pretty well evenly spaced out throughout the year. So if you wanted to attend all three, you could.
Absolutely. That's the benefit of how they are spaced out. Now, my one qualm is AOM and NSC tend to fall
same
on the
time.
Exact same
yeah.
time
That's
every single
year. It's
going
on right year. Now in St. Louis, right?
Exactly. It is yeah. going on right now in St. Louis. And there's a lot of students that go to AOM as well. And so I was actually talking with Lisa McLaughlin today from the APTA and the Student Assembly, and trying to talk her into let's get these on separate weekends so that students can attend both events.
All right, so every episode that we do, Brett, is a pint, and before we're done with a pint, we have shots. Now, I'm not drinking beer right now for this episode. I'm doing vodka. It's just that time for me. I'm wearing a spandex Spider-Man suit, so I can't get too full, you know what I mean? But with the shots, the parting shots of wisdom, what's something you'd want to tell all these students attending the conference, or, you know what, even more students who are unable to attend the conference? What's a parting shot of wisdom you want to impart upon students that are in the profession now and just getting started?
I think it's get involved and show up. I think it's as simple as that. It's get involved in your profession, take ownership of it, and just show up. That's half the battle right there.
Showing up, I think, also lets you know what you're interested in, where you might want to come in and be a pediatric PT, and you show up and you get involved, and all of a sudden you realize that's not what you're into. But the only way to figure that out, and you figure it out fast, by showing up and getting involved. I like that a lot.
Absolutely. You gotta test the waters. You gotta try a little bit of everything to figure out what you like most.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. I appreciate you taking some time out. We're here at the PAC event. We're standing next to the guy wearing the full-on spandex Spider-Man suit for 15 minutes and talking with us on the show, Brett.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Brett Nielsen on the PT Pintcast.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they?
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency, offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariasmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.